Okay, so for this time, we were going to talk about next steps, ethics, permissions, various resources that are available to you as an IRS teacher. So hopefully you had a chance to look over the ethics doc that is in the manual. We also have an entire landing page on our website that has all the information. It has that ethical code of ethics and professional conduct policy on it. It also has all the grievance forms because we do have an ethics committee that reviews any grievances that might come forward. We have information on who sits on that committee. Harry Dudley happens to be our newest member on one of our newest members on the ethics committee. So I'm going to ask him to come forward here in a little bit. But I just wanted to speak to the importance of ethics in the next conversation, not this time, but next time, I'll also talk about more ethics around teaching just in general for your consideration when you're teaching classes and things like that. But, you know, we've worked really hard to develop all of these documents. This is, you know, and being a meditation teacher, we, and a yoga nidra teacher in particular, is its own field, just like any other field. And we think it's incredibly important to have a code of ethics that we all agree to. I think any field for a profession will have a code of ethics. And, you know, it's all encompassing. So, you know, looking at your commitment to the profession, the commitment to your students, being available, not identifying yourself beyond your scope of practice, not identifying yourself as doing as something other than what you're trained to be doing, allowing anyone to, you know, having our classes open to everyone, to not discriminate in any way, shape, or form, you know, and of course, to uphold the highest boundaries as far as confidentiality, as well as recognizing that when we're teaching with students, there's a very specific teacher-student dynamic. And I think of it as we're holding someone's heart in our hand. And we have the opportunity to either hold it gently and with deep care and reverence, or to squish it. I have a face. None of us want to squish anybody's hearts, clearly. But that's what happens when we overstep boundaries, right? That's what happens if we start to have feelings for our students and we don't hold them in check. Now, it's natural. People may start to develop feelings for other people. I understand that. We may live in small communities where there aren't a lot of people that, you know, have the same interests, things like that. But by the nature of somebody coming to you, there is a power differential there. As a student, they see you as a teacher. And even though we treat people as equally as we can, and we know that now, hopefully after this training, that they're holding, they are an aspect of this essential nature, no different than we are. They still see us as holding knowledge that they don't have. They can project onto us their own sense of power, and they project that onto us for a while until they can really stand in their own sense of sovereignty and power, and that's a process. And so in doing so, we want to make sure that, you know, we're not acting out on any feelings that we might have. If you start to have feelings for students, that's why we have mentoring, or you could go to somebody in your own community, talk about it. And if you're in a small community and, you know, things are happening, you may need to not be their teacher, right? You may have to look at that. And then after a certain period of time, 6 months, 9 months, a year, if you've had supervision or you've been, you know, doing mentoring and the feelings are mutual and you don't plan on having a teacher-student relationship, that may be a whole different experience. But that's beyond the teacher-student relationship, right? That has ended for quite a period of time while you're working that out. Please, you know, that's one of the highest ethical considerations across any profession is that we're not acting on that, right? There's laws. There's laws around that too. So, you know, I'd like to open it up if there's any questions. I mean, hopefully it's very clear, and we ask that everybody that comes to the training and have the expectation that everybody's abiding by this ethical agreement. At some point, we'll have a place to check off on our website, but we're not that sophisticated yet. But I'd be happy to bring Harry forward to talk about the ethics committee and just to give you an overview of what they're about and how they're here to support us all in our own standards and you know, as a community of teachers. So Harry? Okay.
Sure. Thanks. As oh wow, feedback and echo. So I'm the newbie on the committee. I've only been on for a couple of months. And I've spent a lot of time looking at other ethical standards and guidelines. And I'll say that I'm really, and I've watched the ethics of IRES evolve over time. And I'm really super impressed with how well articulated these documents are and how they address so many possible situations. But of course, there are situations that are going to kind of fall in some gray areas. The purpose of the committee is first and foremost to be supportive and to answer questions, to provide information, and as well as to process grievances, which have a very particular timeline. And you know, if there's a grievance to be filed, you know, by yourself or against yourself, there's a very specific form. And the committee has a very specific timeline and procedure by which we would process something. And we then issue a recommendation to the board, which then kind of falls through on it or takes it as a recommendation. Being a human being is a really messy thing. And so these standards have developed in order to help with that. And I think for me, the scope of practice is really important, particularly for those of us who live in a couple different worlds. You know, as a healthcare provider, for some of you, you may integrate IRES into your life in a particular way in your practice. But when you're teaching at a studio as a teacher, as I've done, I'm wearing a rather different hat, and that's where I fall upon the ethical guidelines to really guide me when I'm being asked diagnostic questions by students or things that go outside of not my profession, but at my focus as a teacher. So those sorts of boundaries, I think, for me have been really helpful, because it's so easy to get pulled into things as when you're viewed with expertise in some areas. Yeah, and again, I'm happy to entertain any questions. Again, I'm kind of new to this. I am new to this committee. I've been involved in the draft of some of these documents, a refinement of them, as well as some of the grievance process, but. That's all I have to say.
And do you mind unmuting Stephanie, please? Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Harry. Any questions around that before we move on? Yeah, there's one question here. Hold on just a second.
We also have a question in the chat when you're done.
For non-discriminatory practices of groups, if you're in a setting where you're wanting to invite a certain kind of like trauma focus, kind of like folks with trauma, or I'm thinking even like, is it not within the guide to have like rule outs for the group? Like rule outs, like don't refer clients if they've had, you know, if they're actively suicidal, that kind of thing. That's like a common practice in clinical settings for different groups.
Is this question for me? Okay.
We can both field it. Harry, do you have something you'd like to say or?
Yeah, I think it's your responsibility and prerogative to have your own guidelines and screening process for any group you do, regardless of whether you're functioning in a healthcare capacity or or as a meditation teacher in a studio capacity, that's fine. When I've been in that position, I've screened people. I've been kind of clear what would be helpful or not helpful for people and given people alternatives.
Yeah, I was going to say the same. If you're doing a specialized group for trauma survivors, I would recommend that you have a screening process so that you're able to have them at minimum fill out some sort of intake form and waiver so that you understand why they're coming in. And I would have some specific questions on that. And or if you have the capacity to be able to talk to each student before they come in is always wonderful. But if we're at a studio situation, that may not be the case. So we have to just work on our waiver, and we may want a specialized waiver for a class that's trauma-informed, that's specific. You know, I have a friend who in Columbus, Ohio, she taught IRS specific for people who had been sexually trafficked and sexually abused. And on some degree, Janice has taught at the VA with and in the studio for people with, well, at the VA with for people with military sexual trauma history and combat trauma. So, you know, you may have very specific questions that happen, you know, based that you want to bring forward based on the group. Yeah, great question. Yeah, one other question here in the studio.
Just to piggyback off that question, I work with suicidal folks. Is this protocol okay to use with folks who are suicidal?
Yes, I'm assuming you mean you work with them as a clinician, so as a therapist. So you were talking about incorporating some of these techniques into the therapy that you're offering. Is that what you mean? As a group. Yeah, I would look to your area of expertise and specialty. So knowing that you as a psychotherapist run a group that's unique for people that may be suicidal, and you have other techniques that you're using, and I presume other ways that you're tracking them every step of the way. So this is where, can you see where I'm doing my scope of practice questions here with the person in the room? So she's nodding yes to every single one of those questions. So this is not for the average IRS teacher who's not a clinician. This is specific to somebody who's a clinician. So if that's your area of expertise, you know you have screening, you know you're tracking the group, and you have a capacity to support that person if something were to come up, then absolutely you could weave this in as a way that you're working with them. And then you would just be titrating that and checking in along the way with how they're doing. Mm-hmm. Great.
I would add that, I would mirror what you're saying. I would add that IRS really does dovetail well with things like DBT. Mm-hmm. So it'd be good to incorporate those sorts of methodologies. I'd be concerned about using IRS as a standalone method for a group that has more suicidalities present, but DBT and ACT, acceptance and commitment therapy, I think they dovetail really well. And I've often integrated aspects of those as well as compassion focused therapy with IRS for clinical groups.
Thanks, Harry. Great.
Stephanie, we had a question here online.
Okay.
And Barbara, please, fill me in if I'm just not getting your question clear, but wondering about if we need verification on any IP or other aspects, who do we turn to for clarification?
Sure. And IP is intellectual property. For those of you that are wondering about that, you can email info@irest.org your question, and we'll make sure it gets to the right person and they'll get back to you. Great. You're welcome. Okay. So I'm going to move into another area to talk about, which is level two, the IRS level two training. For those of you, so we're excited that you're all becoming IRS level one teachers. And for some of you, the next step may be that you'd like to take the level two training and you might have questions about it. So I'm happy to talk about this, and Jennifer, feel free to come forward. So We've just completely revamped the level two, which is really exciting. I'm working on updates to the manual now. And the first flow of the new level two training will happen in May. I have these dates on my computer. We have a live stream training that Richard and I will be offering May 3rd through the 7th. And then we're doing a hybrid. So there'll be part in-person, part live stream in September, the 13th through the 18th. And that will be held at Santa Sabina Retreat Center, which is where we hold our retreats here in California, in California, in San Rafael. It's really beautiful. So May 3rd through the 7th is live stream only. September 13th through 18th is actually hybrid. And we feel really good about this. Now that you're coming into our mailing list, you're going to see some emails coming out where Richard and I, we have a little video on the landing page in May where we talk about some of the changes. But really, we had a working group support us, people that are also supervisors for those going through certification, as well as questions we've seen coming through in level two. And we're looking at making it quite practical so that you have different practicums and different experiences of teaching to really look at what's happening and get more nuance of blind spots if you're trying to fix and change things like that. What's the essence of what makes iRest iRest specific to other things? We have resources that we're developing that will support you that have, for instance, bullet points on what you could be talking about for orienting talks around certain koshas or around certain guiding principles and interviewing questions that could support that orienting talk, as well as it's there just to support you to deepen into the practice and how to teach the practice. So I think for many people, and then of course certification just takes that to a whole nother level, some people wonder, how long do I take between level one and level two? We don't have a set amount of time because some people, we know just the way they like to learn, they like to move forward and do something a little bit more quickly. And others may take a year and a half before they come to level two. Some people have taken even multiple years because, they just, for whatever reason, life happens. Or that was their flow. But the one thing to consider about coming to level two is it's great if you've had some experience teaching group practices and sitting one-on-one, because level two also is informed by your questions, right? And so your ability to have an understanding of the deeper nuance about this and, I've been teaching Manomaya or Vijnanamaya or Joy Anandamaya. I've been teaching Asmita, and now I have all these questions around it. You know what I mean? Or if you've sat with people one-on-one, you may have a whole new level of questions around that as well. And it's really there to have a greater refinement. And, it's like any practice. If we really want to learn it, we just have to keep dipping our toe in, right? And we not only our practice, but we're getting further training to help us refine and become greater experts at what we're doing. So that's happening, the level two coming up. And then we could talk about certification here in a moment. But I'm wondering if there's any questions specific around level two. No? Nope. Okay, great. So Jennifer, I'll hand it over to you. And I think you were going to talk a little bit about certification.
I was. And Stephanie, can you remind me when you were going to talk about the permissions?
Yeah, I was going to do that at the end, but I can do it now if that's something that people want to talk about now.
I think let's roll with this. And then I just wanted to make sure I had time, left time for you.
And we did have a hand raised about, do you have level two questions, Jamil? Come on forward.
Okay.
Hey, very quickly, thank you. So I know there's going to be a resource list. I'm wondering if there are specific reading resources that might inform me better before going into level two. And then I totally hear that that level two is sort of tailored around your experiences and deepening into your experience as well as deepening into teaching. However, are there certain books that you're like, yeah, I would recommend that you really kind of chew that one up before embarking mm-hmm. further?
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that question forward because it also made me think, we also talk about special interest groups more at level two. So trauma, pain, sleep issues, anxiety or stress. So those are some areas that we, you know, and people come with questions. Sometimes they may be specializing with IREST with cancer or IREST with, you know, at a mental health clinic or something like that. So we can address questions like that as well. As far as what you could watch or listen, I can tell you what we have some requirements before level two. And one is the IREST program for healing PTSD. We could equally replace that title with the IREST program for health, healing, and wholeness, to be quite honest. It's a fantastic book, along with the original book that Richard, that was required for this reading, which actually they just came out with a new edition like a week ago. But the IREST program for PTSD, it's like the primer for IREST, as far as I'm concerned. It's like this really easy to digest, walk you through the 10 steps, walk you through the five messengers of being. And there's scripts of 42 different meditations in there. You know, from short 5-minute meditations all the way to full 35-minute meditations. You can record yourself. We separately have a recording of Richard reading all 42 meditations that are for sale on the website, but it's there, you know, and I would recommend that. We also, I believe the requirement is, I'm not going to know the name of the product right now, but there is another, I think it's like six download audio offering through Sounds True that might be IREST for health, healing, and wholeness or something like that. I'll get the title and I'll put it on the participant resource page. Trying to think if there's anything else that I would recommend right now that's IREST specific. No, but you know how my brain works. I'll blurt it out in about an hour. Something will come to me. I'll keep that cooking in the background of my unconscious. Hope that helps, Jamil. Thank you.
I'm also wondering, Stephanie, if those requirements are listed on the IRI website.
They might be. I'll check that out during our next break. It's a good idea, probably.
All right. So let's dive into, I'd like to talk a little bit about the certification program. And the certification program is an in-depth, it's helping us grow like a really in-depth understanding of the foundational teachings that are behind IREST, the fundamental principles, the 10 steps of IREST. With the certification, you're assigned a supervisor who goes over your assignments with you. And it's there are readings involved, there are journalings of your personal practice, your group teaching practices, your one-on-one practices, there's recordings involved, there's a beautiful assignment of working with the Kanchukas, like time, space, you know, nothing we need to do, nor nothing we need to acquire, all of that. There's also an assignment that involves the map of meditation. And I can't remember who, but I saw it in the text. We're saying, oh, you know, that map is linear. I wish it was more like circular. And that part, that assignment is you making your own map. And so I have had many students like design it and write it in the form of a circle or in the form of poems or things like that. So it's a wonderful process for deepening into these teachings. And it's not necessarily, you don't have to be to want to be a teacher of IREST. It could be simply wanting to deepen into all of the teachings. It does, there are also retreats required, two retreats, one a short one, like a 3-day, one long one, which is a 5-day. And there's also the IREST immersions, which qualify as the short or 3-day retreats. And all of this typically, there's like a 2-year period that you're given to complete all of this. And if you're really fired up about it, you can actually begin certification now. It used to be that people did the level 1 training, a level 2 training, and then they started certification after that. But if you're really fired up, there is early certification. So if you've done level 1, then you would get half of the assignments. And then once you did level 2, you would get the second half. And again, still needing to be completed within that 2-year period. The cost for certification is $1,900. But if you sign up for it within 3 weeks of your level 1 or your level 2 training, you get a $300 discount. So it comes down to $1,600. So I'd like to open it up if there are any questions about certification. Jigna.
Hi, just a quick question. If we apply right away for a certification that includes level 2 training, and does that include the 2 retreats?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and if we are doing the retreats, so will it be a separate cost for the retreat?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how much would that be? So just to have a general picture about...
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't have the cost of the retreats off the top of my head. Do you, Stephanie?
Yeah, it just depends. So it's a good question, Jigma. So that is a financial consideration, although there is a payment plan for certification, which is great if somebody were to need that. But... So level 2 is about, I think it's $1,695 for the early bird price for level 2. It's a full 5 days. So it's an extended training now. It used to be 4 and now it's a full 5 days. The most affordable short retreat would be an immersion. And Richard and I did an immersion that we filmed for Sounds True that often goes on sale. It's usually, I think, $299, and sometimes they'll put it on sale for like $129 or something like that. That can be used towards the short retreat. And then the retreats, it just depends on the retreat center. And if you stay in a single room, if you're a commuter, if you stay in a double room, and the length of the retreat. So for the long retreats, they're either 5 days or longer. And there's one in May that's down in California. I'm doing one at Kripalu in August. It's not on the website yet, but it will be, I think, soon. And it just varies. I think probably the least expensive for the 5-day is, I can't give you a quote, but I can't give you a quote. Like I just did a short retreat at Santa Sabina. How much was it? I would guesstimate $1,500 to $2,000. I'm going to guesstimate depending on your housing, and it can go up from there depending on how many days of the retreat. It's about $100 per day for tuition for a retreat, about on average, a little bit more, maybe $130. So it's not the tuition that makes the range of retreat. It's usually the housing and the, you know, because if you stay on site, it's the meals is included and everything.
And these retreats, a lot of them are hybrids. Is that correct, Stephanie?
Yes, right now for this year, all the retreats, even if they're in person, will be hybrid. So you'll have the live stream option as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you have anything in Canada?
We used to do Canada every year in October, and this year it's going to be live stream. So right now we don't have an in-person in Canada at the moment, but I'm sure that will open back up.
Good. Thank you.
Yes, we have a really strong Canadian community.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Back to you, Jennifer.
Any other questions about certification?
We had a question about scholarships. If we know if scholarships are available for certification or retreats or immersions. I think Stephanie.
I know. Yeah.
Yes. The answer is yes. You can always apply for scholarships for certification and for retreat.
Mm-hmm. And trainings as well, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Anything else for certification? All right. So I'd like to touch on a little bit about.
I think Stephanie had one more point.
Oh, okay.
She said it's okay. We can keep going.
Okay. All right. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the mentoring program we have, and we've spoken to it a little bit, and all the assistants here in the training are certified IRES teachers and most available for mentoring as well. If you found like you really connected with one of the assistants, and we'll be sharing all the assistants' contact information in the what is that called?
The participant resource page.
Yeah, the participant resource page where you would find your manual and all of that. So you could also reach out to Kirsten Guest, who's the head of the IRES teaching certification, and for a mentor as well. And that's Kirsten@IRES.org. You can find her there. If we could write that in the chat, Kirsten@IRES.org. Yeah. Shall I go in? I can't, I think I'm going to talk about the TCN now.
Could I chime in really quickly for mentoring? Yeah. Just to speak about mentoring and how it's distinct from, because you get a supervisor that works with you during certification, and it's a really beautiful process because it's really there kind of to support you. They review all of your assignments. You have 4 sessions with them where they're really helping you with your learning edge. But it's very much around the assignments because it's a very robust, rich experience. I mean, certification is the way that we know that you're really, truly teaching IRES, you know, and there are opportunities where people will be looking for teachers. I'm getting ready to put out a call for teachers on 2 different in Australia and in North America for some opportunities. And it's the way we know that you know that we know that you know that, you know, you're teaching IRES. So that's supervisors. But mentors... Really, if you would like support around, you know, you're going to be teaching a 6-week series and you want support on how do I set this up, you know, or as you're teaching a couple of rounds, you may find that you have questions that you'd like to ask someone who has a lot of experience, or maybe you're going to work on a presentation for a place where you're employed or a place you'd like to bring IRES and you want some support on how to do a presentation, or maybe you want support for your own co-meditation dyad where you want someone really experienced because there's something you'd like to meet and to be on the receiving end. Any of these kind of mentoring around your own teaching and your own practice, that's what the mentors are there for. So that's what I wanted to chime in about. And the fee, at least for the formal mentors through IRI, through the IRES Institute, is generally around $110 or $125 an hour. You know, people do sliding scale fees. Thanks. Back to you.
Yeah. Thanks, Stephanie. I see Gabrielle, you have your hand up.
I just wanted to put in a plug for certification. For me, it was the absolute crucial part to really digest and apply what we learned, because it's an intense internal process, as well as getting to really review and study the core material. So the, for me, the certification was absolutely worthwhile.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, all right. So I wanted to make you aware, once you've finished completed this level one training, you'll have an opportunity, if you like, to join the Teachers Community Network. And this is something that has been created to help all of us within the IRES community come together. And it includes a Facebook group that's exclusively for the Teachers Community Network members, and it's monitored by senior staff and mentors, and it's a really active, like, peer-to-peer support going on in there as well. So, like as an example, maybe you want to teach to a certain population, and you could put that out on into the Teachers Community Network, and there might be multiple other people who are teaching this group of the population and would have all kinds of information that might be helpful. So it's a beautiful way to stay connected with community and receive a lot of support through the community. And with this Teachers Community Network, there's all kinds of different promotional materials you can download. There's PDFs of the most recent manuals always available. There's audio downloads. You could listen to recent trainings. You could listen to things from the retreats, like pranayama practices, the breathing practices, our body sensing movement practice, chanting. There's some beautiful practices that you can download. There's also a 20% discount on any downloads from the IRI store. And the TCN, as we call it, the Teachers Community Network, it's $129 a year to be a part of that community. But there really is so much available to you. I think it's valued at something like it would be valued about $500 a year. And I know, Stephanie, you had some things you wanted to add to this.
Yeah. Once you're on our email list, you'll see that we do we bring out certain courses to support teachers, and we will do a pretty decent discount, a significant discount for TCN members. So for instance, we started last year what we call skill building workshops. And last year was 6 series. This year it's going to have 8. And it's on different themes that to consider when teaching IRES classes. And it was a huge success. And it's there to both develop community. So there's always a breakout session within whatever theme's being taught. It's a 2-hour class on a Saturday, so it's not a huge commitment of time. And there is always a breakout session so that you're connecting with other teachers and building community and getting to know other teachers. And for that, for instance, like the cost for the whole series is, you would more than make the money that you invested in the TCN back just by, you know, joining that course. Or like one session is usually $90, and for TCN members it's $45. So there are other benefits like that where we gear certain programs for you, for teachers, and we do a really big discount if people are in the TCN. So that's what I wanted to say.
Thanks, Stephanie. And you'll be getting an email at the end of the training that will send you a link to, if you want to sign up for that Teachers Community Network, you can. And one other thing I like to mention are the free teachers resources. So this is something also on the IRI website. And with this comes a bunch of material. There's a fantastic workbook. It's like a 21-page workbook And it's something that you can use when you teach. You can copy pages out of the workbook and use it. There's places for people to write things down. I mean, it's a wonderful resource to have as a teacher. I might have mentioned this in one of the breaks, but you were talking about new students coming in. And often when I was teaching drop-in classes, if I had a new student drop in that day, I had copied a page from that workbook that listed like what is IREST, kind of like what to expect, and you know, a list of the 10 steps and what to expect that I could hand to every new student who came in. So they had a little bit of something to read before class or to take with them when they left. There's also a 6-week class outline. There's the 8-week class scripts, which includes what to say during the orientation in the beginning, which I really love that because it's like, how do I do this? You know, it's wonderful. These free teacher resources also include scripts for 10 minute, 25 minute, 35 minute scripts. There's also some scripts in other languages. I know like there's Spanish, there's Dutch, there's French right now. There's promotional material. So if you wanted to create like a postcard or a flyer, you would just have to, you know, download it, put in your information, and here you have a very professional looking promotional material for you to use. So another one of the things that it has in this is like a way that we can, once you've completed level one, you can post your profile to the IRI website. So it's a way that if someone's looking for a teacher that lives in their area, then they can see your profile, they can read about you and find out like you know, are there certain populations that you work with, et cetera. So it's a wonderfully helpful thing for us, because I have definitely had people find me through that. And I can just barely see Stephanie. Do you want to add something?
Only a big plug and a big request for you to please, please, please put in your bio if you're going to be actively teaching. Because I can't tell you how many people reach out to us. And I know that we have a lot of teachers around Austin, Texas, for instance. And, you know, I'm not saying, I'm just using that as an example. Or I'll know that we have a lot of teachers in a certain area and they won't have put their bio in. And so people aren't able to find them. And then they email us and we've got to do some back work, which we'll do. And, you know, but if you've got your active teacher profile up, like Jennifer's saying, you get the email directly. And, it's sent to you by somebody. We do take a look at those because people were starting to get super spammed. So we didn't want that to happen. So we do have somebody that filters it to make sure you're not going to get spammed. But it's great because you can link out to your website. You can list your specializations. And please do. You'll get contacts. It's a way that you can find people that are looking for teachers in your area. Yeah, and we have a question here. So hold on one second.
Just a clarifying question. So are you saying that there's a registry for IREST teachers? Or are you talking about like if we have our own professional bio to put that in or both?
I was getting ready for the answer over there. Yeah, so there's a find a teacher section on our website and you develop that. So first you have to have your username and passcode. So that's a given. You've got to be able to log into our site. Right. Once you do that, then you'll be able to put whatever bio you want on that page so that in the find a teacher kind of registry, then your information will pop up. It will ask your city, state, things like that. There'll be a place to put your specialization that you can link out. Like I said, you can hyperlink to your website. Yeah. Great. Thanks.
I find I've used this many times when I've had a student who's moving somewhere and they ask me, do you know of anyone in this area or that area? And so I actually can go and take a look and find someone or give them multiple options of people to choose from in an area. So yeah, that's all I've got. Hopefully you have time for permission, Stephanie.
Great. Thank you. So the final piece is around permissions, and hopefully you had a chance to review the document, the copyright, trademark, and permissions guidelines. We just updated this last fall because we really needed to get up to speed with everybody teaching online and how to promote online and things like that. So I'm going to just kind of read through it. Not kind of, I am. Because I don't know it by heart yet, like I did our old permissions. And let me know if you have questions or clarifications. I think it's pretty straightforward. So while we own the trademarks and copyright for it, obviously we're extending that permission for you all to use it and to identify yourself as an IREST Level 1 teacher. And let's see. So it's totally fine for you to teach live classes online and to record your classes and provide them to students. You are not able to sell recorded products, though, or classes if people aren't in your live classes. So that's focused on live classes in particular. And then in order to build your own voice, you can provide free recordings. I know people have things up on Insight Timer, or if you want to have free recordings on your website or other places like Vimeo and SoundCloud and things like that. But there just has to be, they have to be free. So no payment back to you for making them available. And we ask that you don't upload anything by Richard Miller or anything that's offered by the senior IRS trainers. That's already been happening, and we just need to be able to put things up where we decide to put them up. So we just ask that you please don't do that. We didn't ask that before because, you know, it was the Wild Wild West and we weren't even realizing, and now there's stuff different places that we just ask your cooperation in that. You can use the trademarks, and the trademarks are like the IREST Institute logo, things like that. You can use that on your website. You can say that your teachings are informed by IREST, IREST Institute, Integrated Restoration Institute, which is the full name. You can say informed by the teachings of Richard Miller if you're so moved. And so, yeah, so you can advertise. We just ask that you don't use the trademark on any paid advertising for your web pages. So no payments on like Google Ads or anything like that. Yeah. So aside from that, just another clarification. You're not able, we want you to be teaching IREST to your communities, to the places that you specialize in that only you can do. So you can identify your teaching IREST. You can put a blurb on your website to describe what that is. But you're not able to teach other people to teach IREST, right? So that's the only, obviously, that's why we have the level one trainings. And so if somebody wants to do that, please just refer them back to our website. And you can refer back to our website anywhere you'd like. And so those are the up-to-date permissions. So any questions about that? Yeah, there's a question here. One second.
Just to clarify, so for if you were going to teach IREST online, you can only teach it, you can teach it live online, and you can charge for live online, but you cannot charge for if it's pre-recorded, but you can record it and offer that for free, like after the fact. Okay, just wanted to.
Good We have a question here on
part of the reason. Yeah, just really quickly, if I could just speak to that, and then I'd be happy to take the next question. And Jennifer, chime in if you'd like anywhere, of course. Part of the reason for that is we save certain things for certified teachers. And then they come into a specialized licensing agreement with us around that, because that's how we know that they know that we know that they know that what's coming out is actually IRS and not mixed in with other things. Yeah. Yeah, certified, there's a whole separate process that we can vet and bring some things out that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I think there was another question online.
Barbara had a question. Would you like to come forward, Barbara, with your question? Sure.
Thank you. What about an affiliate program for anybody that wants to take the training or continue on with certification?
So we have affiliate programs with hosts. We have host studios that like Yoga Tree is an affiliate for a lot of our courses. So if maybe some of you learned about this course through Yoga Tree and they, you know, they're an affiliate, so they bring forward other courses, like Richard's doing a year-long pranayama course, or there are other retreats that they promote and things like that. But we don't right now have that for individuals, but if that's a question that you have or an interest, you can email us at info@irest.org and we'll see. But right now we don't have it set up that way. Great question though.
We have Jamil with a question here too.
Yeah.
Hey. So I know I heard a number around what a certified instructor could offer their teachings for hourly. So as level ones, how would we, if we were to offer this to groups, individuals, what are the sort of, monetary compensation that we could feel good about mm-hmm. asking for? Yeah, all that. And
yeah, great question. And I want to clarify. So the price I was doing earlier was specific for mentors. So that's an IRES Institute mentor, which is a formal, like, the supervisors are mentors. So that's the price that I was given. That wasn't for like just general certified teachers. Although there are certified teachers here that, since you've gotten to know them, they can provide mentoring for you and they may have a similar rate or they may have their own rate. So let's just talk about for you as teachers though, separate from mentoring. And because I think that's your question, Jamil, and I'm happy to answer that. And any of the other assistants, if you want to chime in, feel free. I think the most important thing is that you find out for your classes, what is the going rate in your area? Because I can tell you, I can teach an IRES series in the San Francisco Bay Area, and the pricing is going to be much higher than when I taught in Columbus, Ohio, right? My one-on-one rate is $200 an hour when I do one-on-one with people. Now, I'm very experienced. I've been doing this for decades, and I also have a clinical license, right? Whereas when I first started one-on-ones, I charged $75 an hour back in Ohio when I was first learning how to do this. And that was a going rate that was good in Ohio. By the time I left Ohio, it was $150 an hour. And I raised it incrementally as it felt right to me. So you could look at if you feel that you're ready to do one-on-one, and I would encourage anybody here that would like to do that to do some mentoring to make sure that, you know, what you're doing is, it's so easy. It's such a slippery slope because we're not training you necessarily thinking everybody will be ready to do that. But let's talk about pricing and then I'll talk about other resources for co-meditation dyads. So I would find out what are yoga therapists charging in your, you know, what's a one-on-one yoga therapy session or a one-on-one yoga session cost in your area? What are price points for individual physical therapy or occupational therapy or therapists? Because sometimes that will give you a ceiling to your range. You know what I mean? So, but again, it's so regionally specific. You don't want to price yourself out of the market, but you also want to make a living wage. And we encourage that for people. You may be a little bit more expensive for your classes, your group classes, than an average asana class. And that's okay. Find what's going to work for you that you can live as a meditation or yoga teacher and that will still be affordable. One other thing, we're going to be developing some courses for practicing co-meditation dyads with others. That's something that we're going to be developing for sure. But we already have an advanced course that is an evergreen product, meaning you can purchase it and take it at your own rate, at your own timing. And I don't know the cost of it right now off the top of my head, but it's a 6 or 7 hour course. And I developed this with Ann Douglas, who was a senior IREST trainer for us for many, 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 many years, and so skilled in her own right. So we developed that together, and that's available for those of you that are interested. Yep. Thank you for that question.
Just because I'm from Ohio. So if you don't mind me asking, for the group, you mentioned $150 an hour when you left for individual. How about for the group, if I were to offer a group?
You know, I honestly don't remember. It's been so long since I taught there. But I know that Evan Wilkerson is teaching IREST at Yogan High. And I know Michelle's now at a different studio, but you could see, you know, I would imagine she'll eventually be teaching again, and you could see or ask her if you have connection with her. Yeah, yeah. Anybody else that wants to speak to regional prices or anything? Or, I mean, I think that's clear, but.
We have a question here in online.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cynthia?
Stephanie. So I just have a question in regards to payment sources that you feel comfortable with. Like, for example, a lot of people will inquire, will you take my HSA? Or I know some people are really fancy and are familiar with PayPal and some are not. And I just was curious what your thought was.
Yeah. I mean, as long as it's your own comfort zone. I take PayPal, Venmo, Zelle. I take credit cards through those ventures. I have people that still physically put a check in the mail and send it to me. So okay. If that's what makes them comfortable, it is nice to have accessibility through PayPal or Venmo or some sort of online payment source. It makes it easy for people. So I'm comfortable with that if they're not HIPAA compliant, but we're not, you know, I'm okay with that as far as being meditation or yoga. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome. Ivy, like ivy that grows on a wall. Ivy Pay is HIPAA compliant if anybody wants to do that. I didn't know, so thanks. I'm going to check them out.
I also wanted to touch in and make sure that there's a really clear distinction between what students call themselves now. Because it's so common that when people take a level one, then they say they're a certified IREST teacher. So I want to really make that clear. That you're a level one teacher, level one IRES teacher. And then if you choose to, you might become a level two IRES teacher. And from there, if you go through certification, then you'll be a certified IRES teacher.
That's a great point, Jennifer. Even though you get a certificate of attendance for completing this, it's different than saying you're certified. So we don't say certified level one, only because we keep that for certified IRES teachers, which means they've gone through the whole certification process. So thank you for clarifying that, Jennifer. So IRES level one teacher, IRES level two teacher, and then certified IRES teacher. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you though. Okay. Well, we might be able to wrap it up and actually give you an extra minute or two on your break, since there's been other times where we've taken an extra minute or two from your break. We have two more sections where we're going to be talking about teaching, group teaching, and really have a ton of time for, we're going to go through the questions that we haven't gotten to yet. And then just think about any of the questions you might have around teaching and we'll field those as we move on to the rest of our day.